Welcome to your deep dive. Today, we're going deep on something maybe a little surprising, how much privacy you're actually guaranteed on your own land.
Yeah, it's a question that really gets to the heart of the Fourth Amendment and, protection against unreasonable searches and seizures, all that.
And to really dig into it, we're going to be looking at a Supreme Court case, Oliver v. United States. And this one deals with something called the Open Fields Doctrine. And get ready for some twists and turns because even the justices themselves weren't totally on the same page with this one.
It's a classic kind of legal battle, right? You've got individual rights on the one hand, and then law enforcement needs to investigate crime on the other.
Okay, so this case, it actually involves two separate situations, both dealing with police finding marijuana on private property. But here's the thing, they didn't have a warrant in either case.
Right. So in Oliver's case, they came across a locked gate and even no trespassing signs, but they decided to go around them. And then in Thornton's case, there was this path that led back into the woods behind his house, and the police, they followed it.
So both these guys end up facing drug charges because of what the police found. But was it even legal for the police to be on their land in the first place?
Well, that's the big question that the Supreme Court had to grapple with, and their decision in Oliver, well, it really set a precedent that's still being debated today.
So let's break it down. In Oliver's case, the police went around a locked gate and no trespassing signs. I mean, that seems pretty clear cut to me, right? Like they shouldn't have been there.
You would think so. But the majority opinion on the Supreme Court actually said that the Fourth Amendment, it doesn't protect activities in open fields. And their reasoning was the Fourth Amendment, it lists persons, houses, papers, and effects as protected, but it doesn't specifically mention land.
So they're taking a very literal interpretation of the Constitution there. But what about the fact that Oliver, he had those signs and that locked gate? I mean, didn't that show that he expected privacy on his land?
That's a really important point. And the majority argued that, you know, just because you try to keep something private doesn't automatically mean that society recognizes that expectation as reasonable. And they pointed out that open fields, they're generally accessible, even with fences.
Wait, so just because someone could like fly over and see what's happening in my field?
Yeah.
Means I have no expectation of privacy there.
That was essentially their logic, and it definitely led to a lot of controversy and debate. But before we get into all that, there's a really important distinction that the court made that we need to understand, and that's the curtilage.
Curtilage? What's that?
So the curtilage, that's the area immediately surrounding the home. So think like your yard or your driveway. And the court said that the curtilage that does get Fourth Amendment protection because it's so closely tied to the home and your personal privacy.
Okay, that makes sense. Your home's your castle, right?
Yeah.
But what about the rest of your property? Like the fields, the woods, are those just fair game for police to search without a warrant?
That was the outcome of the Oliver decision, yes. And this is where things get really interesting because not all of the justices agreed with this whole interpretation of the Fourth Amendment.
So the majority said open fields are different, but some of the justices disagreed. Tell me more about that.
Oh, absolutely. Justice Marshall, along with Justices Brennan and Stevens, they wrote this really powerful dissent, and they argued that the Fourth Amendment isn't just about specific places that are, you know, listed in the text. It's about protecting this broader concept of privacy.
Okay, so what was their take on this whole open fields idea then?
Well, they pointed out that landowners have strong property rights, often backed up by laws against trespassing, and they argued that open fields can be used for all sorts of private activities, you know, not just things that are visible from the air.
So things like taking a walk in the woods, farming, maybe even having a private religious gathering, all activities that they thought should be protected.
Exactly. The dissenters felt that the majority's decision, it created this kind of confusing and potentially unfair rule, leaving landowners vulnerable to police intrusion. They were really worried about the implications for personal freedom and property rights.
Yeah, it sounds like they were drawing a line in the sand saying, hey, our privacy matters even in open spaces.
Precisely. And their dissent, it really raises these important questions about how we balance individual rights with the need for law enforcement, you know?
It's a tricky balance for sure. So we've got the majority saying open fields aren't protected and the dissent saying they should be.
Mm-hmm.
But there was another opinion in this case, right? A concurrence.
Yes. Justice White, he wrote a concurring opinion, and it takes a slightly different approach. He actually agreed with the outcome that the searches in these cases were legal, but his reasoning was really interesting.
How so?
Well, Justice White, he completely sidestepped that whole debate about reasonable expectations of privacy. He focused just on the text of the Fourth Amendment.
Okay, so going back to that list of persons, houses, papers, and effects.
Exactly, he argued that No matter how much privacy a landowner might expect in an open field, those fields just simply aren't a house or an effect as listed in the Fourth Amendment. It's a very literal, very strict interpretation of the Constitution.
It's fascinating how different justices can look at the same text and come to such different conclusions about what it means.
It really does. It highlights the complexity of legal interpretation and how, you know, our understanding of the Constitution can evolve over time.
This whole case has really got me thinking about my own property and what privacy really means, especially in today's world, you know, with drones and satellites that can see almost anything.
It's a valid concern. Even back when Oliver was decided, the justices, they acknowledged that advancements in technology could make these traditional notions of privacy harder to maintain.
It's like, what's the point of a fence or a no trespassing sign if someone can just fly a drone over your property and see everything anyway? Does the open fields doctrine even make sense in the age of all this high-tech surveillance?
That's a great question, and it's one that courts are grappling with right now. Justice White's focus on the literal text of the Fourth Amendment, it might become even more relevant as technology kind of blurs those lines of what we consider private.
So it's not just about fences and signs anymore. It's about this evolving relationship between technology, privacy, and the law.
Exactly. And cases like Oliver, they remind us that these debates are ongoing. The law, it's not static. It's constantly adapting to new challenges and societal changes.
Okay, so we've covered the majority opinion, the dissent, and even this intriguing concurrence. But what does all this mean for me, practically speaking? If I want to protect my privacy on my land, what can I do?
Well, the first step is awareness. You know, understand the basics of the open fields doctrine and the curtilage exception. Knowing your rights, that's crucial.
But even then, it sounds like there are no guarantees.
That's true. The Oliver case shows us that the law, it isn't always black and white. There's a lot of gray area, and the courts are always going to consider the specific circumstances of each case.
So putting up fences and no trespassing signs, it might help, but it might not be enough to guarantee my privacy in every situation.
Exactly. The Oliver case, it didn't make things simpler, that's for sure. It really underscored how tricky these Fourth Amendment issues can be.
Well, this deep dive has been eye-opening. I definitely have a lot more to think about now when it comes to my property and my privacy.
And that's the goal, to spark that curiosity and encourage a deeper understanding of these important legal issues.
So to wrap this up for our listener, what's the biggest takeaway you'd want them to walk away with?
I think the Oliver case, it's a powerful reminder that the Fourth Amendment, while it's so vital for protecting our freedoms, it's not a magic shield. It's constantly being interpreted and reinterpreted in light of new circumstances and new technologies.
And knowing those interpretations and how they might apply to your own situation, that's key to protecting your rights.
Absolutely.
Well, thanks for guiding us through this legal landscape. I think our listener is now much more informed about the open fields doctrine and its complexities.
My pleasure. It's always fascinating to unpack these complex issues and explore the nuances of the law.
And to our listener, thanks for taking this deep dive with us. We hope you've gained a new perspective on property rights and this ever-evolving concept of privacy.
Until next time.
Keep exploring. Yeah, it really is fascinating and kind of unsettling to realize how much, you know, our understanding of privacy depends on these legal interpretations.
Yeah.
So if I'm hearing you right, even if I do everything by the book, put up fences, post signs, there's still a chance that the police could legally search my land without a warrant.
That's the bottom line. The Oliver case, it showed us, you know, those measures, they show you're trying to create privacy, but they might not be enough to guarantee it under the law, especially if the area is considered an open field.
So what can I do? Should I just accept that I have, you know, less privacy than I thought?
Not necessarily. Awareness is key. You know, understanding the nuances of the Fourth Amendment, the open fields doctrine, and the curtilage exception can help you make more informed decisions about your property.
You know, it's really striking how much technology has changed the game. Back when the Constitution was written, nobody could have imagined drones or satellites, you know, looking down at us. Does the open fields doctrine even make sense in today's world?
It's a valid question. Justice White's concurrence, you know, with its focus on the literal text of the Fourth Amendment, it might be even more relevant now. As technology keeps advancing, maybe the courts will need to reconsider what constitutes a reasonable expectation of privacy in open spaces.
So it's not just about fences and signs anymore. It's about this, you know, evolving relationship between technology, privacy, and the law.
Exactly. And cases like Oliver, they remind us that these debates are ongoing. The law, it's not set in stone. It's constantly adapting to new challenges and societal changes.
So what advice would you give our listener who's probably thinking about their own property right now and wondering what they can do to protect their privacy?
Well, first of all, don't panic. The Oliver case doesn't mean you have zero privacy rights on your land. Be proactive. Learn about your rights. Consider what reasonable measures you can take to secure your property. And if you've got specific concerns, you know, talk to a legal expert who can give you advice tailored to your situation.
Great advice. This has been a really illuminating deep dive. It's amazing how one Supreme Court case can reveal so much about the complexities of, you know, our legal system, our changing understanding of privacy, and that delicate balance between individual rights and government power.
It's a balance we need to constantly think about, especially in a world where technology is changing everything so rapidly.
Well, thanks again for helping us navigate this fascinating and often confusing legal terrain. I think our listeners are now much more informed about the open fields doctrine and, you know, how it applies in the digital age.
It's been my pleasure. These kinds of discussions are so important for helping people understand their rights and how they're interpreted in a world that's always changing.
And to our listener, thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We hope it sparked your curiosity and encouraged you to think critically about your own privacy in an increasingly interconnected world.
Until next time, keep exploring, keep asking those questions, and keep diving deep.
And remember, knowledge is power.